This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, how are you?
Well, I'm sure you know exactly how I am because we've been having some interesting discussions off air today, you and I. But before we get to our meat and potatoes, I know everybody wants to know about our Defense Minister, Avigdor Lieberman, who has resigned. And I know that Hamas and elements within the Gaza Strip are celebrating and calling it their decisive victory. No real surprises there.
Let them.
But
why is it important? So can I just ask you, why is it important?
Sure.
Why is that important if they're calling it a victory? Let them. What does that do?
Because you just brought the next war that much closer.
Why?
Not necessarily. What has happened is they've brought the next election a lot closer. And I think that there may be a 50% chance that this happened because Avigdor Lieberman objected to the ceasefire, as did Ministers Elkind, Bennett and Shaked. And I think it's 50% that it was a very, very decisive way for Avigdor Lieberman, who we must remember, still the head of Yisrael Biteinu, to corner Netanyahu into an early election. And as you can imagine, there are frantic calls from Netanyahu and the Likud faction to their coalition partners. We've got Naftali Bennett threatening to topple the coalition and also push for elections unless he is given the portfolio of defense minister. And Avigdor Lieberman, you know, preparing his new election campaign because he has called for early elections. So the games are on. We're ready, and watch the space, because I think in the next couple of days we'll know whether or not we are going to be going to early elections.
So, yeah. All right. So we're talking about those elections.
Yeah.
When do you think Gaza's going to have elections?
When do I think Gaza's going to have elections?
Did you want to ask something different, Simon?
Well, considering that on the other side, the Palestinian Authority president, who many consider to be the more moderate of the two factions, the two leaderships, is serving the 12th year of his four-year position. I think it's slim and none ran out the door. I don't think we're going to see Hamas, who do not allow for any particular or any political opponents in the Gaza Strip to run against them. So I think for Gaza, Hamas is there to stay, and unfortunately we know all too well the kind of entity that Hamas is in the Gaza Strip, which opens us up to our discussion that we wanted to have, Kathy, and that is, you know, where do we draw the line? Where do we start using some kind of rationale and perspective when it comes to opinions on Israel and events in Israel and social media?
All right, so let's have that, because Simon and I don't know if you heard what we were talking about when you came online.
I did.
We were talking about how toxic, you know, people get online, on social media, especially when there's a conflict between Israel and Gaza and Israel and anywhere else. I'm a Zionist. I'm a proud Zionist. But when I read some of the things that other proud Zionists write, I am horrified, and I do not want to be associated with that.
And I hear you. You know, it's no great big secret I'm a Zionist. You know, they call me Occupier Barbie. My political views are very well known. And Simon, I understand and I share your frustration. We wanted to see, after the trauma, especially that, and we mustn't forget this, that hundreds of thousands of Israeli civilians in the south have experienced over the last couple of days. We wanted to see a decisive cutting off of the head of Hamas. We want to see Hamas and their capability to cause destruction to both population groups, both the civilians in Gaza and the civilians in Israel, come to an end. And this is the reason for this discussion. I was quite horrified last night that when I posted that we have a ceasefire in place. And yes, there have been protests from people in Sderot who wanted to see a lot more done to cause a lot more damage to Hamas. And, you know, we're not going to deny that. But comments like flatten them, the Torah says we must destroy them, obliterate them, what
carpet
does
bombing.
It matter? They
carpet
vote,
bombing was a big
carpet
one.
Carpet bomb them. What does it matter if we lose a few rather them than us? That kind of rhetoric is profoundly offensive. And here I am, and I'm opening myself up to more hate mail. A lot of this rhetoric doesn't come from people who are living in the country.
Okay, that's a very real comment, Rolene.
It is a very real comment, and I want to explain to you what it is like for us here in Israel. The decision to go to war is not easy. It's one that none of us know how it's made. We're not present in those discussions with the security cabinet and the generals. We won't be privy to what is said. But what we do know is that it's a very difficult situation. War for us in Israel is not just a three-letter word. This is our children, our husbands, our wives, our lovers, our colleagues, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters. These are our loved ones who have to carry this war. We also, as a country, do not want to see civilians who are used as human shields, whose homes, whose hospitals, whose schools, whose infrastructure is used as launching pads. And here I hear some of you saying, yes, but they hate us, they're incited to hate. Yes, they're incited to hate because entities like Hamas control the education system. And it doesn't help either side when we are baying for blood.
Rolene, why has Hamas, I mean, you've mentioned quite a few times how Hamas has been in power. I think it's the longest four-year stint ever. How many years is this? 14 years, 12 years?
That's the PA.
Palestinian Authority.
That's the Palestinian Authority. Hamas came into power through elections in 2006. So it's also 12 years, if I do my
maths
correctly.
That's 12 years. You're right. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking you. So how is it that the rest of the world is not questioning that? I mean, they're funding, but they're not asking the questions about elections.
That's a very, very fair and valid point. You know, the same as they are not condemning Hamas for the, you know, the treatment of political opposition or women or people of different religions or gay people or people who refuse to participate in their terror campaigns, be it protests against the fence on a Friday or other terror campaigns. You know, I think, and you raise a very, very important point, Kathy, that when the world starts holding Hamas accountable and not Israel accountable, then we might see some real change start to take place.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think the people of Gaza are in a position.
This is such an interesting discussion the two of you are having, because the world actually didn't care. I mean,
judging by living in South Africa,
Rolene, if you lived in South Africa and you were not tuned into the Times of Israel or a Israeli news source, you would not have known that a single missile was fired over the past couple of days. That's how much
of a
news story
it is. And what's quite interesting, and we're not talking about it enough, is that Israel hit back and hit hard. But because we have a very strict code of conduct, pikuach hanefesh, a code of arms, we clear absolutely everything through our military advocate general or through the Bagatz, which is the Supreme Court. We do not... we've managed to avoid... And here, I mean, we're not... Why aren't we talking about it? We've managed to avoid huge civilian casualties. There was one casualty reported apart from the seven Hamas terrorists who were killed in the raid on Sunday night. Our dearest friend, you know I love her, Linda Sarsour, tweeted a picture of those killed, and they are anything but civilians. But we've avoided massive casualties. And, you know, why aren't we talking about it? Is it only newsworthy and is it only necessary for the people of Gaza to die before the world takes or shows any kind of concern?
Raleen, that's where we leave it today. But, yeah, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.